Good Wednesday morning. I'm Anna Palmer, and welcome to your Politico Playbook audio briefing, sponsored by the Better Medicare Alliance.
And I'm Jake Sherman. Bundle up out there if you're on the East Coast. The Capital Weather Gang is reporting that a bomb cyclone, yes, a bomb cyclone, will blast the East Coast before a polar vortex creates a tremendous cold late this week. What a great welcome to 2018. Today marks the beginning of the January budget negotiations. The Big Four, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer, meet with Mark Short and Mick Mulvaney at 3 p.m. in Ryan's office today. We wrote yesterday that the general consensus is Democrats have an advantage going into the negotiations. To put it lightly, this elicited a few emails from top-level Republican sources on the Hill who clearly think otherwise.
Here's the case Republicans make about why they are well-positioned. They argue that Democrats are focused on finding a way to tie a fix for DACA to the budget negotiations, which is a non-starter for Republicans who want to include some sort of border security tied to any immigration legislation. The GOP says they're willing to give Democrats tens of billions of dollars in additional domestic spending, part of a caps deal. And they are skeptical Democrats will let that all fall apart over DACA.
Breaking overnight, the AP is reporting that North Korea has opened a key cross-border communications channel with South Korea. The first time in almost 2 years, the countries are exploring the possibility of sitting down and talking after months of escalation.
President Donald Trump was busy on Twitter last night. He questioned why the U.S. pays hundreds of millions of dollars in aid to the Palestinians. He also tweeted that he has a much bigger and more powerful nuclear button than North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, and that he plans to give out the most dishonest and corrupt media awards of the year Monday at 5 p.m.
Alex Eisenstadt details how Orrin Hatch's retirement is poised to tee up the rivalry between Trump and Mitt Romney. Jen Habercorn, Sungmin Kim, and Brian Fowler look at the musical chairs Hatch's retirement will create when he leaves the coveted top finance committee slot. They write, if Republicans retained control of the Senate in the midterm elections, they would have to select a new chairman to help the Trump administration enact legislation ahead of the 2020 presidential race. Chuck Grassley, who previously served as chairman and ranking member of the panel, still has 2 years of chairmanship eligibility. In order to lead finance, he would have to forego his similarly high-profile gavel at Judiciary.
Michael Crowley and Eliana Johnson write that the Iran protests could move Trump to kill the nuclear deal. The anti-government protests in Iran offer him a new reason to scrap the pact, as Trump and senior White House officials have offered rhetorical support for the protests. In less than 2 weeks, he will have to decide whether to continue to waive economic sanctions against the country that were lifted as part of the 2015 nuclear deal. Today, President Trump is having lunch with Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, and Defense Secretary James Mattis.
In the juice, Ryan Canfield, the former legislative director for Hal Rogers, is joining the White House Ledge Affairs shop. He takes Ben Howard's slot. American Action Network is dropping another $2 million to tout the benefits of tax reform. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.